What is up, everybody? Welcome to the WWE SmackDown Post Show. It is Friday, June 21st. It's Denise Salcedo with Robin Lundberg. Robin, dude, I don't even know where to begin, but I'm going to first start off by, hi, it's good to have you back, and what a SmackDown to return with.
We are back, baby. It feels like the gas pedal was hit this week by WWE, right? Like, we've sort of talked about it on this show. I was like, all right, post-WrestleMania. But from that Wyatt family joint on Raw through, that worked for me, through SmackDown tonight. I mean, it feels like the business has really picked up. And in this episode, obviously, CM Punk's presence means a lot. You just got his star power, the continued feud with Drew McIntyre, which is the best feud in wrestling. And then you culminate it with the Bloodline and in addition, in Jacob Fatu, who they couldn't have made look stronger.
Dude, so you kind of nailed it right there, but we have a lot to talk about. I know coming off of Monday's Raw, I was thinking like, oh, that's going to be the best show of the week because everybody was talking about the Wyatt Six and just how all of that turned out. The news with Drew McIntyre quitting. I mean, there was a lot coming out of that show, but I'm just going to say it right now. SmackDown won this week between the confrontation between CM Punk and Paul Heyman, CM Punk and the Bloodline, the little alliance there with CM Punk and Cody Rhodes, Drew McIntyre attacking CM Punk, Logan Paul, LA Knight, and then the debut of Jacob Fatu. I mean, there is just a lot in here to talk about, Robin. It's pretty exciting to see where we're at right now with this particular week in WWE.
Yeah, I know, because, I mean, it's in contrast to where it felt like the wheels were spinning a little bit, but all of a sudden, you know, even the people who aren't around are actively involved, whether it be Rhea Ripley on Raw and what's going on with Liv and Morgan and Dominic Mysterio. And obviously Roman Reigns here on SmackDown, because Solo Sikoa drops that line, Roman's not coming back, much to Paul Heyman's like bewilderment, I guess is a word I could use for that. So the heavies that aren't there feel like they have a presence. But, you know, it is amazing what star power will do too, because starting the show off with CM Punk, the guy just has juice. He has whatever it is that cannot be taught, right? Like whatever that thing is that can't be taught, CM Punk has in spades, and him and Drew McIntyre together. I mean, what a sequence that was. As good as the finish was, I think that shot with the door opening with McIntyre standing over CM Punk and then firemen's carrying him into the arena with the blood coming out of his forehead might have been the hardest moment of the show.
It definitely was. Oh, my God. I mean, there was just a lot. But let's go ahead and dive into these super chats. If you guys want to get your questions, your comments, your statements, your reactions, now is the time to do so. So let's go. First and foremost, as always, thank you so much to Sheldon Jackson for the 5DWO memberships. Sheldon also says, curious, with this Bloodline, can we officially call The Rock the new master manipulator of WWE? Because I believe he's the one pulling all the strings within this version of the Bloodline. Robin, you were the first person that like tossed that idea at me. And the second you said it, I'm like, yes, that is perfect. I feel like that is the end game that we want to see with The Rock being the one behind Solo Sikoa's Bloodline. Now, unfortunately, the last couple of weeks, we've sort of been talking about how the Bloodline hasn't really been all that. And we even saw CM Punk kind of bury the Bloodline today. But with the way that the show ended today with Jacob Fatu's presence and how strong that debut was, how are you feeling now about the version of the Bloodline that we're seeing and The Rock still possibly being the master manipulator behind it?
Well, CM Punk just said what we were all feeling, right? I mean, he just told the truth. But I think it works, Denise, and I've always thought it was going to work when it came to the conclusion. It was just, you know, the week-by-week episodic version of it with Solo Sikoa, who is looked stronger, I think, the last couple of weeks, especially now that you got him involved with Cody, right? When he comes out and mockingly celebrates after Cody beat AJ Styles, you're like, okay, they're really ready to do something with this, right? And then they throw him into the main event, and you knew shenanigans were going to take place once that main event was announced. But I cannot stop thinking about a poster, right? Like a poster that has The Rock's face next to Solo Sikoa's face, next to Tama Tonga's face, next to Jacob Fatu's face. And on the other side of the poster, you've got Roman Reigns' face next to Jey Uso's face next to Jimmy Uso's face, next to Sami Zayn's face.
I love that visual, Robin. I'm seeing it all. I don't know why, but I see it in gold, too. I see it in gold. We're all getting the visual right now.
In green for the money it'll make. But,
that's probably what Triple H and WWE see in money.
if they're all alive backstage after what happened Monday.
That's true.
You know, I think once we started picking up the pace a little bit, it makes it much more interesting. And obviously, Jacob Fatu comes in and chef's kiss, right? Like brilliant booking of making him look as strong as he did, kicking everybody's ass, whether it's Randy Orton, whether it's Kevin Owens. And then when Cody put him over the top, I was like, no, don't ruin it, right? Cody can't get the best of him, but he didn't. He pulls him out, hits him with the, you know, modified rock bottom on the apron, and then puts him on the table. And that splash, that was a good splash.
The camera angle to that, Robin, it looks so far. You're thinking, is he actually going to make it? Like, is he actually going to hit it? And dude, not only did he hit it precisely in terms of distance, but the impact, it felt like thousands of tons of pounds just landed on Cody Rhodes. And that sort of drove the impact like so much harder. But let's just get right into it. We'll start off with Jacob Fatu and talk about basically what happened here. So it looked like at the end of the main event that Solo Sikoa was basically going to be cornered and taken out by all of the baby faces. And then all of a sudden, first of all, Robin, I was thinking, there's no way Solo Sikoa is about to be like chickened out and taken out here because they can't afford to take this loss anymore. Like they can't afford to take this L. They can't afford to look bad anymore. And then all of a sudden, as I'm thinking that, this smile creeps up on his face and I'm thinking, oh, that was the second when I thought, okay, he's got something up his sleeve. What is the thing that can be up his sleeve? And within split second, I'm thinking it's got to be Jacob Fatu because that is only sort of the card that is left to play. Not left to play, but the one that we've been waiting for them to play, right? We've been waiting for them to play this card, and that is the Jacob Fatu card. And so then the second Jacob Fatu comes out and cleans house, takes out all of these men, that spear to Randy Orton through the barricade? I mean, how the hell? He snapped the man in half, Robin.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to me the timing. Like, I don't know if it was it Clash of the Castle? They were like, right after that, we're going to put all the cards on the table because they had been holding them close to the vest. And all of a sudden, it's Wyatt Six. All of a sudden, it's CM Punk. All of a sudden, it's Jacob Fatu. And all this is hitting us bang, 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 bang. And I saw the news about, did you see the trademark thing about Caesar Sikoa? The
name? I saw that.
And I'm liking it. I'm digging it.
Oh, watching. I didn't like the name Caesar Sikoa. Caesar Sikoa, right?
Replace his name.
Change, say that again?
Change Solo's name to Caesar Sikoa.
Not you think?
Not with the way his hair is blonde and everything. And
I can't do any name changes. Like, because then it just takes forever for me to get used to it.
And the leadership role he's taking on. I don't know. But regardless, I feel like Solo he felt stronger in this because he's going up against Cody now, because he does have other people coming through, and because, you know, like all due respect to Tama Tonga and the all the Tongas, they don't feel as fearsome as Fatu does. Like,
did for a second, and it was only in their debut, and then it quickly faded away, and they weren't able to gain it back. But it does not hit the same way that Jacob Fatu does.
Yeah, and we've seen the Jacob Fatu. You know, you had your interview with him. I've seen the highlights of him. He has a skill level and a talent level that you just can't replicate. He looks like he's in really good shape, too.
He's very agile, for his size. Like, if you just see him, you assume that you know what you're going to get. And then you see him wrestle and you're like, that man can do that?
I mean, look at that splash, right? Like,
exactly
where he came from on that play, off the top rope. And the camera angles deserve a shout out too. They've been killing it with the thing they did with Bron Breakker around the ring with the spear. Obviously, Logan Paul with the drone shot, that we go back to that. These long hallway shots, the Drew McIntyre CM Punk shot tonight, down to that splash shot from Jacob Fatu. Whoever it was that they hired to do all that is earning their money.
Yeah, so I don't even know. I feel like this is definitely the thing that the Bloodline needed. And I know a lot of people were anticipating. I feel like I've been anticipating this now for the longest time. And so now that it's actually happened, it really does feel like there is this new... I mean, it feels like the Bloodline took Blue Chew. I know Blue Chew's... We're not playing a Blue Chew read today, but damn, it feels like the Bloodline took Blue Chew, because that is how it feels coming off of tonight. Now, I do want to go ahead and cheap plug. I do have that interview with Jacob Fatu up here on the channel. I think I did that at the top of this year, so it's only a couple months that I did it ago.
It was WrestleMania that I remembered, like,
because that's when I shared the clip, right?
Yeah, because I remember I was walking into the arena and I saw you tweet about it, and that's the kind of thing that probably just gains views for you over time, because more and more people curiosity search him.
So when I first posted that interview, it took a while, but it got to like 4,000 views. And then all of a sudden, there's this conversation surrounding whether or not Jacob Fatu is going to go to WWE. And all of a sudden, there's the conversation of, hey, he is going to WWE. And the second people found out that he was going to WWE and that he was part of the Bloodline and all of this, that interview skyrocketed to 66,000 views on YouTube, which is a lot from 4,000 to 66K and just like that. So right away, I was like, I got to promote this, because that's the thing. In this interview, you will see, honest to God, no bullshit. You watch this interview, you will see his personality. It is mega big time, and it's just a very likable, down-to-earth person. And the part that always trips me out, I mention this every single time, he nearly knocked my socks off, Robin, when the man said he has 7 children. We're the same age. Me and Jacob Fatu are the same age. This man has 7 children.
Hence the callback to Blue Chew. I mean, look, after you watch this show, watch Denise's interview with Jacob Fatu, and then go offer to watch Jacob Fatu's kids. Maybe you can make, you know, a few bucks, considering all that, the Samoan Bloodline. I mean, you got to keep the wrestling talent pool populated, Denise. You know, what else is he supposed to do?
Dude, the Bloodline's taken care of for like the next 50 years. Already, just with his offspring, they're already ready, because again, Roman's got his kids too. I forgot how many kids he has, but there's a bunch of kids. They're all coming down the pipeline, so it is definitely something that I'm excited for. So now, damn, I don't even know where to go with this, because again, Jacob Fatu is going to switch things up suddenly. Do you think there's a situation, by the way, where Jacob Fatu sort of ends up taking over Solo Sikoa's role, where he not takes over, but he sort of steals a little bit of that spotlight? Because after this performance, I mean, we just saw a couple minutes, and I feel like he's already outshined all 3 members of this new version of the Bloodline.
I think there's a way to keep them both, because you can't bring Solo down after the way you've spent this time on him and invested everything you've invested on him post WrestleMania. Obviously, you know, you got him against Cody, you got him showing up, standing there, mock applauding, as I referenced Cody, squaring off against Cody, and he's been the leader. He's been the tribal chief. What I think Fatu can be is the exciting, you know, action person in the Bloodline. The other two are now henchmen, right? Like, the Tongas are henchmen. Fatu is the heavy. He's the bully. And Sikoa is the leader.
I like how you broke it down. That's good. All right, let's see what the people here are saying. We got Andrew Cool, who says, best week of WWE since forever. When's the last time they had a strong week like this? Because I know when it was, I feel like the last time was when we were seeing The Rock and Cody on both Raw and SmackDown, and it kind of felt like we were being fed a lot.
Yeah, I remember, you know, kind of digging the first show or two post-WrestleMania SmackDown, but it didn't have the same buzz and energy. Then it felt like they went into a little bit of a lull for probably a month and a half, whatever the case may be. But yes, it wasn't.
All of May, I felt was really, really slow. And I was even sort of worried. I started thinking like, damn, man, there's nothing to talk about in wrestling. And I was starting to worry in terms of just having content and things to talk about. And then all of a sudden, we were thrown with all of this stuff in June. So I'm here for it. I'm very thankful for it.
I know what you feel, Denise. Like, as a content creator, like, you know, one, is there enough content to talk about? Two, is the specific content that I talk about lacking right now? You know, like, and you get your own head like, oh, what's going to happen to me? Because my entire life is built around the results of what I'm doing right now. But it's going to be okay because the WWE is a monster. And we knew it would kick up off the mat at two. And really, it wasn't even at two in the grand scheme of things. And I said that on this show a bunch. Even when I was criticizing them, I knew you can't always have your foot all the way down on the gas. It's just not possible. So they deserved a little bit of a grace period. And I think this week was the signal from Triple H and company that period is over with. And the build towards SummerSlam is coming hot and heavy now. Money in the Bank, SummerSlam, business picking up.
Yeah, I was going to say even Money in the Bank feels a lot hotter right now than we probably would have predicted that it would. So yeah, good for them, man. And I say this all the time, but to me, wrestling feels like a seesaw. It has its ups, it has its downs. When it's up, it's really good. When it's down, we're in the dumps. But right now, it's good, so let's enjoy it. We got Lab Glass here who says, I'm finally live. No kilt, though. Lab Glass, thank you so much for being here and for being part of the DWO. We got Kevin Zwicker here who says, best non-Rock appearing SmackDown of the year, right? That's what I said immediately when I thought about great SmackDowns. I thought to the ones where we had the Rock in the last run of the Rock that we had in WWE.
Yeah, I mean, the Rock and then before that, the big bloodline moments, right? The trial of Roman Reigns and Sami Zayn and all those moments before that. But, you know, it was that, and then it was Rocky. And, you know, look, again, I think Punk helped a lot. I think Punk setting off that energy and that vibe in Chicago, right? Like, get you ready. He brings a level of, because I think without Roman there, and this is not a shot at Cody. I just think Punk is the biggest star. Like, for me, just on instant recognition, what he might say coming out of his mouth, all that thing, the energy he brings into a building. So I think kicking it off with him was a really good way to go. And then they paid it off at the end by establishing the storylines they had already been building and really involving the bloodline directly with Cody, which leads to a lot of possibilities on what's, because we don't think Solo is going to be the one to defeat Cody Rhodes, right? But it does feel like whatever happens with Solo and Cody Rhodes is going to pay off what they've been building with Paul Heyman, pay off what they've been teasing with Roman Reigns, and maybe pay off with a reveal of The Rock of some sort.
We got Matt Logan here who says Andrade wins, Gable survives being shot. Dude, that was freaking crazy. Robin, I didn't get to get your thoughts on that, but what did you think of that? Getting to see the Wyatt Six debut and then Chad Gable basically being taken out.
That's just what, you know, has happened to Chad Gable since he re-signed. I feel like that's been his life since he re-signed with WWE. I thought it was awesome. I thought it was so well done. And I know people are going to be like, well, they did this, and then what's going to happen after? Like, the whole point was to get you in the moment, right? Like, to make you feel something in that moment. Now, it will ultimately be judged on how Uncle Howdy works out and whether this faction works out. But as far as the introduction, it was exquisite. It was incredibly well done. And I think you can just kind of forget what happened at the end. You know, almost make it non-canon. Right? Like, it's just like a cool visual to intro them rather than actually part of the story.
I don't know. I feel like it has to be part of the story, right? Because, I mean, you have all these people laid out. What does this mean? Are they dead? Are we not going to see them on TV? What does this mean? Well, I feel like we got to get answers to that.
At least they did, like, say Chad Gable wasn't cleared and then he got cleared again. So they made some callback toward it and the fact that it could have had ramifications. No one said they were dead.
They looked dead, Robin. They looked dead. They were out like a light.
Well, yeah, because that's the lighting. If they had been like that in regular lighting, they would look like they got beat up by another wrestler.
We got Chris Lindeck here who says, much like the Wyatt Six debut, the key with Jacob Fatu will be a strong follow-up after a great debut. Problem is the bloodline lacks star power. Right. So this is one of those situations where it's right now feeling like Jacob Fatu is the hot item in all of this, right? And people will be interested in him when he's wrestling, when he's doing whatever it is that he's doing, especially the wrestling, right? But he can't do it alone. He's got to have the support from all of the other members. So if you have one person who's lifting the entire thing, the other guys, like, I'm hoping they can hang.
Yeah, I mean, that comes down to Solo. It really does. I mean, how does Solo do in this? And it comes down to Cody too, because Cody's, you know, you could throw Roman during that title reign. How many different people did he go against? Right, like over and over and over and over again, and everybody felt like they had a purpose, or at least it moved and everything. At least the good thing with this and Cody, now that we're past the AJ Styles stuff and the Logan Paul stuff, it at least feels like a connection in some way. Like, oh, there, it is a callback. It's not random. Cody has been involved with the Bloodline in some way, shape, form, or fashion for a minute. And now you also have, you know, I think the go-between here is the Cody, Randy, Kevin Owens match against whatever three Bloodline members they're going to wind up going against that can buy you time before you get to the payoffs.
We got Jay Stone here who says, Bianca looked noticeably annoyed losing tonight and last week, and perhaps these are the subtle beginnings of a turn, especially if Jade wins her qualifier. Maybe the swerve is who betrays Jade. So this was one of the things that we also got today, was a lot of Money in the Bank qualifiers. And in one of them, we saw a triple threat with Bianca, Meechan, and Chelsea Green. And during this, to many people's surprises, I went into this going, oh, it's a given. Bianca Belair is winning. And she hits the KOD on Meechan, and Chelsea Green ends up getting rid of her, takes the opportunity and pins Meechan 1-2-3, and she steals the win just like that. But damn, she got a really strong reaction from the crowd. I really do think that Chelsea Green has won people over just simply through the character, because she's not going out there and having these like crazy amazing matches, right? She's just being Chelsea Green, and the character of Chelsea Green is winning people over. And so I was pleasantly surprised that she won this, and I was happy because I didn't expect it. I went into this again thinking, oh, it's a given, Bianca's a shoo-in. No, Chelsea got the win. What do you make of this?
Yeah, no, you weren't the only one happy. You could tell the crowd was happy. And you talk about her character. She won in character, right? Like the way she won and the look on her face as she won, she sold it perfectly. And it goes to show you, I think, that Triple H and whomever else, they know what they're doing. They know what they're seeing. And they've been, you know, the Chelsea Green, I've said this with her before, she can afford to lose some matches because of her character. It's not like she's being presented. It's not like it's Jade. Right? Like if Jade is going out there and jobbing week after week after week, you lose what Jade is and her aura. That's not what Chelsea Green is. But you see the way that the crowd is reacting to Chelsea Green consistently. And then you develop a plan for Chelsea Green. And I feel like Money in the Bank is such a perfect showcase for wrestlers on that tier, right? Like the bubbling tier, because you get that in your head. Oh, could they get there? And then you get that visual of, can they get there as they're climbing the ladder, going for that briefcase? So I thought they did a good job with that with Chelsea Green tonight. And I thought they did a good job with that with Carmelo Hayes tonight, who really needed that too. I think, especially after he was drafted number 2 overall by SmackDown and has been made to look like a punk since, it was good for him to get that win tonight.
It was good for him to get that win too, but I kind of didn't like that it happened the exact same way that Chelsea got her win. I like Chelsea having her moment and her using the opportunity to steal the victory. I liked that. And with Carmelo, it was, you know, with the distraction and whatnot and sort of, but I didn't like the similarities in both of those finishes. And they even made a call to it. Commentary was like, oh, pretty much, you know, similar to Chelsea Green. And I thought, okay, I'm so glad you guys made a callback to that right away. But I would have liked to see it just a little bit different, just so they could. I didn't want Chelsea Green's moment to sort of be stepped on a little bit.
No, I get that. I didn't think of it that way. I understand what you're saying, though. It didn't bother me. It didn't. You know, I didn't go, oh, this undoes what we saw with Chelsea Green. But I understand your point for sure.
Yeah, I just wanted her to have her own thing. Like, let her do her own thing. Let her have her own moment. But it was great. I'm excited to see her in the Money in the Bank. I just know she's going to be hilarious in it. We got Sheldon Jackson here who says, also Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa's face at the end before throwing the ones in the air. potential foreshadowing because they weren't sure about Jacob Fatu joining them. Dude, I was so excited about Jacob Fatu. I did not even notice Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa's facial reactions. Did you, Robin? Because I didn't.
I did not. No, I did not. I noticed the facial reactions from what I was really focused on, the facial reaction for the people he was going against and the reaction for the people he was going against. Because when you introduce, I mean, I can remember when The Undertaker was introduced, Denise, and it was with the $1 Million Team. I want to say Survivor Series 1990 or 1991 for sure. And he gets the best of Dusty Rhodes in that match. So when you have a debut like that and you have these other stars in the match, I remember them all talking about, oh, I can't believe he did this to Dusty Rhodes in his first ever match. And in this case, I'm not saying that Jacob Fatu is going to go on to be The Undertaker, but I do think it matters that he comes in and he kicks Kevin Owens and Randy Orton and Cody Rhodes' ass all in one 30-second span or whatever. That is a message to the audience that we take this guy seriously. We want you to take this guy seriously.
Yes, it means you're in another level because he's not just taking out some dweebs. No, he's taking out their bigger stars on the show. So that's a whole lot. We got Bunny Swag 69 here who says, I think I understand WWE's concerned on overshadowing because Jacob Fatu came out and laid out all three of them out with ease. I know a lot of people, I think that was floating around the internet, was people saying Jacob Fatu sort of overshadowing Solo Sikoa. And that was also something that I had in mind as well because, it's very clear. I mean, you're talking about it. Bunny Swag just mentioned it. You mentioned it. I mentioned it. He came out and he took out three of the biggest stars just like that. I mean, they really got this debut right. And it wasn't just like he was hitting the moves. No, he hit the moves times 10. There was a lot of impact and a lot of fire in what he did. I mean, we talked about it right at the top of the show. The visual of that frog splash. I mean, come on.
And my favorite thing about it was that Cody started to fight back and didn't win out. Like I told you, that was the one moment when he clotheslined Fatu over the top. I was like, no, you're not going to have him clothesline him over the top and then look at him and say, ah, you know, like next week. No, that weakens him. I love that that happened. Cody fought back. He's the champion. He should fight back. You know, like he should not be easily disposed of. He's fighting back. But for Fatu then to pull him out of the ring and get the best of him and frog splash him the way he did, that to me was the best part of it all, is not just the debut and the ass whooping, but the fact that he flipped it back on Cody and didn't lose out to Cody in the one-on-one exchange.
Stephen Marchulli says, with the surprise Money in the Bank qualifiers, will they use the briefcase to build a new star? I think they should. I really do think they should. However, I feel like I'm pretty positive on my picks right now for the men's. To me, it's Jey Uso. And then for the women, I know we've talked about this a couple of times, but it's still Tiffany Stratton. I think that's where we're sort of, I don't think I've changed my opinion just yet on that.
Those were my picks for months, more or less, or for a long time, but one of those two won't come true. One of those, you know, they have
I don't know, man. They're pleasing the fans right now. They might just give us what we want.
We have the full participant list yet?
I don't think so. I think this is what we do. No, sorry. I was getting confused with tournaments right now. I was thinking of something else. But, I was thinking of the wrong promotion, actually.
they were just talking about Jade.
I was thinking of the Owen for a second.
They have tournaments over there? I didn't know.
Because I was just talking about it on Wednesday, and I was thinking of the women's bracket. And I'm like, wait a minute. No, wrong company. My brain is malfunctioning, guys. All right, we got William Buner here with a generous super chat. Thank you so much to William, who says, we can't forget about Hikuleo, maybe with Roman, but this era is full of brilliant surprises. Tonga looked confused looking at Jacob Fatu as well. All right, so I'm glad that a lot of people did pick up on those facial reactions. I'll have to go back and rewatch that because I didn't notice it. But that's another one that I've been waiting for, Hikuleo as well. You know, there's been that expectation that he's coming through as well. And I mean, the bloodline, as we mentioned earlier, is full of a shit ton of people that can come in. And Hikuleo is another one that has sort of been, we're waiting upon as well. I'm not really as excited about Hikuleo as I am Jacob Fatu. So I think my reaction is definitely going to be different.
Yeah, I mean, look, Jacob Fatu was the one that I was expecting and excited for. And, you know, I think sometimes we forget how effective it can be to make you wait a little bit, right? Like the fact that we did wait a little bit probably made this hit a little bit harder.
I wasn't expecting it tonight. I thought the show, had we not gotten Jacob Fatu, I still would have came out here and been like, dude, this SmackDown was lit. Because I thought that the CM Punk stuff and everything that happened with that was enough, truthfully.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It was. But, you know, sometimes, I mean, they say when it rains, it pours. This is the opposite of that. What would be the opposite of that? But the good things, all the good things that come to. And that seems to be the way the biz works sometimes. Is like when, you know, it just feels like, holy shit, how is every show not this awesome, right? Like, this is the biggest one. This is everything happening all at once. And I guess that's probably mostly on purpose, right? And timing. And it's the kind of thing that signals to everybody, all right, buckle up. We're back.
We got Buddy Swag 69 who says, hear me out. Braun Breaker versus Jacob Fatu. Buddy Swag 69, my friend. Dude, I don't even know what to say. That would hit hard. That would hit very hard.
Yes. I mean, I hear you out. You're the first person named Bunny Swag 69 I've ever heard out. And I am hearing you out. And I'm with Denise that would hit hard.
We got Steven Marchuli here who says Bloodline Civil War at War Games. Yes, it can happen. There you go. We have, you know, the Bloodline. You have Cody, Cody, Randy Orton, Kevin Owens. Hell, maybe if CM Punk's healed by then, throw in CM Punk.
So, but no, I think that's Bloodline versus Bloodline. I think that's when they're getting to that. I think all that other stuff has happened before.
I don't know, man. Because I don't know when Roman's coming back, though.
Roman's coming back SummerSlam. By some, I can't imagine.
But, okay, and if he's not back by then, can we go with my version?
Yes, yeah. Well, yeah, you can go with your version.
I'm just saying, I feel like we have time. I feel like we can stretch this out. Like, we get one War Games right now, and then we get another War Games next year. I mean, come on. We can stretch it out. I mean, they freaking stretched out Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns till no end.
Well, no, for sure. I mean, and look, you still got – that's the beauty of it. You still have huge matches with – Cody and The Rock, and another Cody Roman. Both of those are highly anticipated matches.
Didn't The Rock get hurt on the movie set recently?
Hey, I mean, he did, but I don't think it was that bad.
I haven't read the details on that.
I think it was like a bursa in his elbow or something.
Oh, okay.
Swelled up. But, he'll be okay by WrestleMania, right? Like, so I think, those are big. I'm not talking about in the near future. I think in the near future, obviously, they're building towards a Cody and Solo program. And then I think eventually a Cody Randy program at some point, because Randy looked at that belt, you know, very like it was appetizing toward him at the end of the Clash of the Castle. So I think all those things are in play. I'm just saying down the line, they still have those huge matches in the back pocket, Cody and Rock, which was really the hottest feud in wrestling last year. And then Cody and Roman part three, when they've already put on two masterpieces.
And it felt like it was going to take such a long time to get to something that was as exciting as Cody and The Rock. But I feel like I have been as excited for Drew and Punk. And that's, to me, it's been like the recent thing that I've been really excited about, which we'll talk about in just a second. But we got Sheldon Jackson here who says, I hope Jacob Fatu can do the international shows because I know his past will make it hard for him to do those shows with R-Truth's past does. Yeah, and I don't know exactly the details, but I think it was something with like a shoplifting incident that I recall people talking about. I don't even want to bring it up because it's like the past is the past. It was such a long time ago. He's moving on. He's done such great work in the indies and all of that. I don't even want to, if WWE brought him in, it's cool. Let's move on from that. I don't know what this means though for international shows or how that works. So I'd rather not even touch that since I don't know the details.
Yeah. I mean, I echo what you're saying because I don't know how any of that works. Luckily it's never affected me. But
you're like, I haven't. And you're like, nope, don't know. I don't know either. We got Mr. Acosta here who says, told my boy we're going to Madison Square Garden right when the show ended. Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah.
That's next Friday.
Is it? Smack I don't think up. I've only ever been to one show ever in Madison Square Garden, and it was the Ring of Honor New Japan show. And that's the only show that I've seen in anything, like entertainment, sports, anything. I've only been to the venue one time.
Oh, no, I've been there many, many, many times.
Ooh, what was the biggest thing you saw there?
The biggest thing I saw?
Or did you see any wrestling there?
I seen wrestling. The last time I was there was for a house show. It was the house show when they did the digital exclusive with Roman and Brock on the steel steps, if you remember that, building toward their WrestleMania
yeah.
match. So it was that Madison Square Garden show. The biggest events I've probably been there, I was there during Linsanity, and I was there when back-to-back nights, Kobe Bryant scored 60 against the Knicks, RIP Kobe, and then the next night or the next game, I don't know if it was back-to-back nights or the next game, LeBron had a 50-point triple-double, and I was in the elevator with Jay-Z on the way out of the building after that.
Shut up. Isn't Jay-Z like your hero? And you were in the elevator with him?
Yep. And this was circa, so I'm going to say this was 2011, maybe. And I knew that Watch the Throne, the joint album with Kanye, was being worked on or whatever. So I asked him in the elevator, I said, when's Watch the Throne coming out? And he said, when it's done, you know, and then I actually stopped him for a picture. I don't usually do that, but I did stop him for a blurry photo that I still do.
I feel like you kind of have to, right? Like, what are the chances of you ever being in an elevator with Jay-Z?
No, I mean, that freight elevator, I was in that freight elevator with Alicia Keys and Justin Timberlake and Swiss Beats and Spike Lee and a bunch of other people. But yeah, Hove's a 101.
Wow, that's incredible. I remember, oh my gosh, I forgot what freaking, because I hate this guy. I hate, what's his face? Oh my gosh. I freaking hate him. What's his name? Why am I blanking on freaking Kanye West?
Oh, Kanye, yeah.
I'm like, what's this? Like, Keith? Why was Keith in my head? Kanye West. You know me. I hate Kanye West, but whatever. I remember at like a D23 show or one of those cons I was at, and I was walking. And of all people, for me to like walk past with like all of their security was freaking Kanye West. And I turned and I was like, oh, hells no.
You know, I forget. It's the Taylor Swift thing. Look, Kanye has gone completely off the reservation. And
why couldn't that happen to me with Taylor? Like, why? I mean, I have walked next to Taylor, but you know what I'm saying?
You know, that's how I found out who Taylor Swift was, though.
That's just terrible, Robin. But that's the thing, though. I don't think she was really in your demo at the time because she was doing like, she was a teenage girl doing country music. So it probably wasn't in your demo. You weren't the demo for her at the time.
It worked out plenty well for her since. But that's how I was introduced to her.
All right. So let's go ahead and get into these. We got Matt Logan here who says we already announced WWE already announced Gable for a three-way on Monday for a second chance. All right. See, I had not seen that yet. So thank you so much for sharing that. He ain't dead. Good news. Mm-hmm. We got Jana here who says, I think Jay Bianca will get a rematch at Money in the Bank and have the grudge match at SummerSlam. I can still see Nia and Tiffany tagging as well, regardless of what happens with both individually at Money in the Bank and SummerSlam. Yeah. So last week we had the whole tease of like Tiffany kind of wanting to work with Nia Jax. And today we saw that Nia Jax had her back in a backstage segment. And so it looks like they're continuing to move forward with this. And I don't know, what do you think's playing out with that? And what do you think's playing out with Jade and Bianca at the moment?
Yeah, I think we're getting to Jade and Bianca quicker than we might've thought, right? Like,
right?
It felt like this was going to be, maybe they'd be a tag team for a while, but once they took the titles off them, I think that's the signal that we're getting that. And maybe that's SummerSlam too, right? Like, think about Punk and Drew and Jade and Bianca at SummerSlam.
Gunther and Priest.
Gunther and Priest. And then would it be Cody and Solo at this point? I think possibly. Maybe Drew and Punk headline SummerSlam, you know, main event SummerSlam. But Bianca and Jade is another really marquee match that they might be accelerating toward that event rather quickly.
We got Brandon Rosen here who says, good to have good old Canadian girl representing at Money in the Bank, my hometown. Are you going? So I'm not going to go to Money in the Bank. And the reason for that is WWE is not doing like their traditional media days because, or at least the last I heard, they weren't doing their traditional media days. And even if they change their minds and they do a traditional media day, it's already too late for me to apply for credentials. But basically, because it's 4th of July weekend here in the States, so the talent is going to be here. And I think 4th of July, I forgot what day it lands on, like what day of the week, but it's literally right next to that Friday where that's when they would do the media day. So because of all of that, I think that they're just not going to do what they normally do for media. So because of that, there really wasn't a reason for me to go to the show and I can cover it from home.
I didn't know you were Canadian.
No, I'm not Canadian. He's talking about Chelsea.
Oh, I was going to say.
There is no Canadian in me.
I was going to say.
Is that what you were thinking the whole time?
And I read the comment and I see Bret Hart behind you and I'm like, wait a second. Has she been an undercover Canadian that I actually thought, you know, from California and definitely like, you know, speaks Spanish with the right accent, you know?
No, there is absolutely no Canadian in me, unfortunately. I'm dead. That's too funny. Although I will say this, though, I want to shout out our Canadian listeners who I adore so much because they are always keeping us at the top of the charts for Apple Pods. So thank you so much to the Canadian listeners. I wish I had a little Canadian in me because I feel like everyone always says like the nicest things about Canadians, you know?
Yeah, that's like the South Park characterization, right?
What do you mean?
You never seen the Canadians?
I've seen
South Park?
Random episodes of South Park.
Well, the Canadians they're super nice and their heads flap like this, but it's South Park. But all they do is they're really nice.
You know? Okay, good to know, good to know. But yeah, I am not Canadian. Just to clear that out there. All right, we got Johnny here who says, video idea, your top 10 favorite WWE's debuts. I already know my number one. I won't even give it away because if I do the video, which I probably will now that I like that idea, I won't give away my number one, but I have my number one.
Should I come up with a number one? Like,
Do you have one you really love?
I love Chris Jericho.
Yeah, that was my number one.
Because of the Rock part, like the whole, like it doesn't
matter. It's the best debut. It's the best.
It was really, really good. I just mentioned The Undertaker's was a good one. Debuts.
AJ Styles was cool too. Very cool. Really
cool. What is there another one that's just like wild and out of nowhere that I can think of? Those are the best ones I got off the top of my head.
Yeah, nothing tops that. Well, at least in my opinion, nothing tops the Jericho Rock one because it was just so good. So. Anthony, thank you so much, Johnny. We got Anthony Giuliano here who says Punk and Drew just got personal and on another level. We need to get to that in a second. So let's get to it right now. So the show opens up with CM Punk, massive reaction. Robin, this may be a little controversial. I don't even know, but I feel now keep in mind, I'm online all the time. I'm constantly reading people's tweets, comments, Facebooks, Instagrams, YouTube comments. I read everything. And the amount of hate that CM Punk gets on social media is very, very loud. And what's crazy is that doesn't match what you're seeing on TV. On TV, this man is getting receptions like no other. And of course, this was Chicago, so it's going to be extra. But dude, I was just talking about this on Busted Open today, was when I went to Scotland. You have no idea how many CM Punk shirts I saw there. It was just everywhere. CM Punk hats, CM Punk sweaters, CM Punk merch, everywhere. And I'm thinking like, I feel like there's just a big disconnection between what you're seeing, what you're seeing on social media and then what you're seeing at the live events and what you're seeing on TV. It's wild.
The internet is not real life. I say this all the time, and it's not real life. It is not representative of the general. Like, I've seen so many of these micro controversies online that you would never hear a real person talk about in real life. You know, I've been covering women's basketball and Caitlin Clark real heavy, and there's all these, like, arguments and discourse about her. And then you go to the arena, and they're sold out, and everybody's watching a basketball game and going, yay, basketball, not, like, arguing about nonsense. And for CM Punk, I think what you see is, most of the CM Punk hate is going to come, and I'm not painting AEW fans as a whole with a broad brush, so please, I know there's a lot of AEW fans that listen and follow you. I just mean the hardcore online AEW fans who feel jilted by CM Punk and then are going to get their Twitter fingers active all the time. And when I was at WrestleMania, we were sitting next to this couple, and if you remember night two, CM Punk opened the show. And this woman next to me is cheering the hell out of CM Punk. She's from Tennessee, I believe. You know, one of the cool things about the two nights and you sit in the same section, you kind of get to know the people around you a little bit. So I was like, this was right before they were going to show the tape on Dynamite. If you recall, like, I think they announced it that morning.
Oh, yes, yes. Okay.
So I said to her, what do you think about, you know, what they're going to do with CM Punk on Dynamite? And she had no idea what I was talking about. Like, she was not even aware that CM Punk was in another company called AEW. she was a CM Punk WWE fan. Now, that's not the case for everybody out there, but it is a little bit of a glimpse into the fact that the fan base for wrestling is really, really big. And then you have the fan base for the WWE, which is the biggest one. And then you have the people who are really, really dialed in. And they're generally going to be smaller than the whole. And I think that's kind of sometimes the difference you see between what is online, the people who are really, really dialed in and active all the time about this, versus the reality, the people who like wrestling and want to go check it out. And CM Punk has been a star who has made them feel a certain way for a long time. And they're not mad at him about what happened at the end with AEW.
Right. I mean, it's just, man, it's so wild to think. I can't even explain it. When I was at the Collision show, the one where Tony Khan announced, that was the same day that CM Punk had been released, and Tony Khan goes out there, gets booed and all of that. I remember walking that hallway and seeing people dressed in CM Punk merch head to toe being freaking pissed that they bought tickets and CM Punk wasn't at the show. I mean, it was wild. And I mean, anyways, all this to say that CM Punk, of course, in Chicago got a massive reaction. He addresses Drew McIntyre. It's very brief. The gist of that is he says he took his ball and he went home. And he's interrupted by Paul Heyman, who we all know the history between them two. And you're like, ooh, what's going to happen now? Paul tries to warn him about the bloodline and tells him to basically leave. And of course, CM Punk's not really buying any of that. The bloodline goes out there and CM Punk basically buries them. He tells them, like, I forget what the hell he says, but he basically says that they are like a cheap knockoff of Roman Reigns and basically everything that the internet has been saying. So he basically buried them. And I'm thinking, oh, that's rough. That's really rough. How are you going to bounce back from that, right? And the bloodline tries to get in there. And it looks like CM Punk was going to be out now, outnumbered for a second. But Cody Rhodes comes out and has his back. And so that is how we sort of closed out this opening segment here. So what did you think of just this portion that we covered right now?
I think it's been amazing. I mean, it really has. And you knew that the Drew McIntyre quitting thing was not lasting very long. And once you knew that Punk was going to be on SmackDown, you kind of knew Drew McIntyre was going to be on SmackDown. And I thought the ending, I don't know if I've talked about this, I thought the ending to Clash of the Castle was immaculate. I thought Drew McIntyre could not win that match. I don't care where it was.
We all saw it coming. Everybody knew this was going to happen.
Yeah, but it's the way it happened. And Drew McIntyre could not win there. It made no sense. It made no sense once Gunther won King of the Ring. You can't then have Gunther and Drew McIntyre at SummerSlam. You have Gunther and Damian Priest, so Gunther can have his moment getting that World Heavyweight title. And you already had all this build that you had put into Punk and Drew McIntyre, including Punk costing him at WrestleMania. So, yeah, if it had been done the exact same way, it might not have come across well. But call back to the camera shots we've talked about. The camera shot there with him running down the ref, you never see the front of his face until he's doing this at Drew McIntyre. Oh, that was awesome. And then it comes through to this week, and Drew gets his lick back and looks, you know, Drew looks damn strong. He's leaving a bloodied CM Punk on the ground, having to get stretchered out of the damn arena, right? Like, Drew looks strong. Drew has never been bigger than he is right now. But I don't care what title he was holding, what sword he was holding, any other thing he was doing. Drew McIntyre is at the pinnacle of his career right now, doing his best work, and he's doing it with a master on the other side at CM Punk. We can only hope that the match pays this off the way it needs to be paid off.
I really hope so. But that attack that Drew McIntyre did on CM Punk, the visual of that, you just mentioned it. I mean, it was funny because when I think it was like Grayson Waller, they were doing something, right? I was like, oh, whatever. I don't even care about this, whatever, right? And when the freaking garage door lifts up, I was legitimately surprised that it was Drew and CM Punk, because I bought in after the whole CM Punk segment and after everything that happened with the bloodline and Paul Heyman. I even thought, oh, damn, I was really off on my prediction about Drew McIntyre being at SmackDown. I was like, what, joke's on me. And so I had kind of gotten over expecting to see Drew on the show. So the way they did it with Drew coming out and attacking him there, I thought that was a nice surprise because, again, I had gotten past that and I wasn't expecting Drew anymore. And I love the symbolism of it all because CM Punk screwed him in Scotland, right? His hometown. So what does he do? He beats this man up, bloody pulp, and basically serves him on a dish to his people in Chicago. I mean, the symbolism of that is phenomenal. I really love that it was so simple. I'm gonna beat this man and leave him here like a piece of meat. And I also thought it was funny because Drew McIntyre is no longer praying. He is now taking the actions into his own hands. I loved this attack. I think this was my favorite thing that I saw this week in wrestling. The Drew McIntyre attack on CM Punk. And that's saying a lot because I really love the Jacob Fott. Actually, I might be torn on this comment. Once I said it, I started to think twice about it, Robin. I really liked Jacob Fatu's debut too.
I really like the Wyatt intro, but I think you're right. Punk and Drew is the best thing going in wrestling right now. I think all things considered, it's had time to marinate. Like I just said, Drew is doing the best work of his career. Punk really hasn't been back, right? Like, he came back at Survivor Series, but everything got derailed because of his injury. So he hasn't, it feels very fresh. I mean, it's like all of a sudden he's back again and he's in this red hot program and they did it perfectly. I love the way you described him being, you know, deep dish Punk pizza. But they gave them everything you could want because they gave them the celebratory moment at the beginning and you could see it on Punk's face. He just looks happier. I don't know, you know, I don't think it's a show. I don't think you can act that well. He looks like somebody who has found some level of peace in this chapter of his life. Well, we'll see if it stays that way or whatnot. But right now, he looks happy. He looks vibrant. And he was out there with the crowd celebrating and all that. And then all of a sudden, boom. Nope, you're not leaving happy. You're leaving in the back of that ambulance.
Now, here's my question, though. Is CM Punk cleared? Because remember, that was the whole thing that he had said in the press conference that he had hoped that CM Punk would be cleared. I mean, sorry, that he would say, he would be saying at SmackDown that he was cleared. I mean, we didn't get that. And he got taken out. And who knows when he's going to come back? Do you think that this was them saying, we're going to need a little bit more time?
I think he's on the precipice of being cleared. And I think as long as it's by SummerSlam. Now, the question with Punk, and this is the real worry with Punk, is can he stay healthy? Because he's been hurt a lot in recent years. But I think all he has to be ready for is, I don't remember the date for SummerSlam, late August?
Late August.
Yeah. So as long that's another 2 months from now. Is he healthy by then? I think that's all that matters because I think they can get us there without him being in the ring.
I hope so too, man, because I want to get the payoff to this. This is my favorite storyline right now, so I'm going to need the payoff to this. All right, we got Chris Ledeck here who says, were those comments by Wade Barrett on Punk legit, or is it building to an angle 13 years in the making from when Punk stole Nexus from him? What did he say?
Wade Barrett wanted Punk fired.
Oh, is that what he said? Okay, I wasn't paying attention. Yeah. I kind of muted commentary.
Fired for screwing Drew McIntyre at the castle.
I think for me, it's always the situation of sometimes I'm so, especially when you got somebody like CM Punk who's so good at promos, I just like to listen to what they say and I don't always listen to commentary. You know, just happens sometimes.
I mean, look, Denise, it's okay if you don't absorb every single utterance on every single show that you're watching.
I'm going to miss some things, guys. I'm going to miss some things. We got David Primero here who says, who should win men's and women's Money in the Bank? Should it be Chelsea Green and Kevin Owens since they're both from Canada? You know what? I would not disregard Chelsea Green winning this for the women's side. I feel like the women's side is still up for grabs. The men's, I'm still feeling very positive that it's Jey Uso. I mean, come on. Did you see the poster for that?
Which makes me think it might not be Jey Uso. The poster.
It makes me think he is because I think they're going to want to sell those Yeet Money in the Bank briefcases.
Well, look, Jey Uso needs his money. I've said this a billion times. He needs his money. He's too popular to not get something. To whatever the King of the Ring, Money in the Bank.
So in Scotland, not to cut you off, Robin, the top shirts that I saw were Punk, Drew, Jey, Cody, and then the generic Clash at the Castle shirt.
Yeah, I see it. Denise, I see it in my house. See, it's my house. Raj is says yeet about everything. And this, you know, like, he loves main event Jey Uso. So there's just, he has a way, an aura, a charisma that connects with the fans. By the way, he did a great job selling the Wyatt thing after the fact, too. Credit to Jey Uso for that. I just feel like it might be almost too on the nose now, because we were saying he's going to win Money in the Bank. Now he's on the Money in the Bank poster and all that. Is it too on the nose?
Yes, but I don't think it's too bad if it's on the nose. Because, okay, who do you have right now? We have Jey Uso, Carmelo Hayes, and Andrade. There's three more names to be added to that. From the three names that we have right now, can you see it being anybody other than Jey?
No.
Is there any other three names that you think should be in it that could actually win it for the guys? Because I'm going to say no right now.
I mean, Austin Theory's already won it, right? Do we have the qualifier? I'd have to see if do we know who's in the qualifier matches. I don't want to say.
We'll circle back to that because I don't have them at the top of my head. But for the women.
I'm trying to think of people on the roster that would be. No, I mean, who's is LA Knight and Logan Paul are built into their own thing. So it's not them. I think it's Jey Uso too. I'm just saying, when I see that poster, it makes me second guess it.
And then we have Io Sky and Chelsea Green already in the women's Money in the Bank ladder match, and four more names to be added to that. All right. Thank you so much to David, by the way. I appreciate you, man. We got Anthony Giuliano here who says, what first match do we get from Punk and Drew? Certainly not a Hell in a Cell, I'll tell you that much. Or a ladder match. CM Punk was like, that's not happening.
No, that was a good line by him, too. I did see Braun Strowman versus Dragunov versus Bronson Reed is scheduled for Raw.
See, I want all those guys in it. This is tough for me. This is very, very tough. I think in a situation like that, in that kind of a match, they'll probably have Braun win it because they're going to need a guy like Braun in it. So I have a feeling it might be Braun. All right, we got, sorry?
I was just going to say I think the first match between Punk and Drew should just be a straight up match.
Yeah, I agree. All right, we got Joseph Molina here who says, my CM Punk hate is for jokes. I appreciate it, man. All right, we got 2011 Cards fan who says, the Chelsea Green that Samantha would give Chelsea if she won Money in the Bank would be epic. It really would. It really, really would. I love the way she announces Chelsea. Thank you so much to 2011 Cards fan for your generosity. All right. So we pretty much covered the biggest things on the show already. Let me just make sure that I didn't skip anything that was really major that we needed to talk about, because I think we kind of covered. Oh, yeah. The last thing I think we need to get into is the LA Knight, Logan Paul, Santos Escobar segment. And I'm going to be honest with you. This one kind of fell a little flat to me. I think compared to everything else on the show, I was expecting a little bit more fireworks. I think with the attack from Logan Paul to LA Knight, I didn't think it hit as hard as I thought it would. And I was also kind of expecting the promo off between them. I'm assuming they didn't have time for that, and that's why it was this quick attack. But then they did have time for Santos Escobar and LA Knight, so make what you will of that. What'd you think?
I forgot that it happened, so I agree with you.
It just didn't happen. I went into this, like, looking at this, and I'm like, oh, the two biggest things on the show, CM Punk and then Logan Paul and LA Knight, because that had been promoted. And then it just didn't really hit.
I think that overall, the Logan Paul and LA Knight stuff has worked. I think it has worked, but yes, it was very forgettable and felt like filler in the course of tonight's show. But maybe that's also a result of the other stuff being as hot as it was.
Right. Oh my gosh. Well, there you go. That was WWE SmackDown for June 21st. Robin, what a SmackDown to return to. I had the best time talking about this show today because I just felt like it's so much easier to talk about something when it's fun and it's enjoyable. And that's what today's show was. I think this was the show of the week.
Well, I mean, whenever you're giving a review or reacting to something, you want to be honest about it, but we're fans in the first place. So we want to be excited about what we're talking about. And yeah, this one restored the feeling. I think this was a hell of a SmackDown and the kind of thing that gets you excited about where WWE is going.
All right, guys. So before we wrap things up, a couple of things. Do not forget to check out the Clash of the Castle content. I have interviews with just about everybody. Chelsea, Drew McIntyre, the CM Punk scrum. I did get to ask CM Punk the last question. So if you guys want to check that out, that is up here on the channel. I mentioned earlier that Jacob Fatu interview. There are very few Jacob Fatu interviews out there. And I have one of them. So check it out. I think you guys will really enjoy it. Let's get that interview to 100K. I think it can happen. So give it some love. If you're listening to this right now, go comment, go watch right now. I'll be keeping an eye out for all of that. Also on Instagram, I have posted a lot of my reactions. I have two more videos to post, so I'm going to post those right now. But there's a couple of videos that are already up there on my Instagram. I've been posting all of the reactions, and that is at @_DeniseSalcedo. Robin, where can the people find you?
Yeah, you can find me all over my socials, obviously. Follow me on Twitter and the like. Go over to my YouTube. We've had some fans from this show come over to the YouTube. If you like basketball, we've got fans who like both wrestling and basketball, definitely over there joining the conversation. And I just launched a new website through Sports Illustrated called Women's Fast Break on SI, which is covering women's basketball. It's something that's sort of in the process of doing all this happened to me more than me, you know, that's the way it works out sometimes. And I'm rolling with it. So check out all that coverage, please help me build that up as big as it can be. And I love being in here on Friday talking wrestling with Denise.
You got to get that Caitlin Clark interview, Robin. I think you'll get like over 1 million views.
Oh, if I get a kid, yeah. I mean,
yeah,
she got the juice, Denise.
That could be like the video for you that would just like skyrocket your channel.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, like, look, if I just put her name in the headline, it does pretty well no matter what.
Bro, if she's a wrestling fan, I'm going to be like, yo, hey, want to come up on the podcast? Want to talk about Roman Reigns? I don't know. Who do you like?
Well, that's the key. If you get, like, if somebody has a sign or something like that, you could do I promise you could do a whole video. Caitlin Clark sign scene at SmackDown, and it would blow up.
Freaking wild, wild. Alrighty, guys, there you go. That was the show. Thank you guys so much. As always, please do not forget to subscribe to the channel. Leave a nice review on Apple Pods if you enjoyed the show, and we'll catch you guys on the next one. I will be live tomorrow for Collision Conversation. Catch you guys on the next one. Bye, everyone.
Yeet.